Okay, let's unpack this. I want you to imagine a room, but not a physical room. Think of a digital space that feels like a cross between a university lecture hall, a gritty cyberpunk hacker den, and maybe a daycare center that's been set on fire.
It sounds like you've been doom scrolling through the image boards again.
You know it. Specifically, we are looking at a place called Mejidojan, or MCD.
Right.
If you aren't familiar, think of it as an image board style forum, similar to 4chan, but with a very specific flavor. It feels like a time capsule and a crystal ball all at once.
Yeah, that is.
And the mission for this deep dive is to decode a single sprawling thread from this board. It's a snapshot of internet anxieties right now, captured in real time.
I mean, we're talking about a raw feed of anonymous users bouncing between like existential dread about artificial intelligence, obsessing over retro gaming, and then just the absolute weirdest corners of comic subcultures.
Exactly. And we should clarify for you listening, Mejidojan isn't just random noise.
No, not at all.
While it looks like chaos, these threads operate as a sort of collective consciousness for a very specific type of person.
We call them the learner profile in this context. They're, highly technically literate, deeply cynical, but obsessively invested in the culture they consume.
They aren't just scrolling past content, they're dismantling it to see how it works.
Right. And the sources we have today are a wild mix. Discussions about AI generating podcasts about them, deep dives into obscure Korean manhwa, reactions to the leaked Epstein files.
But this isn't just, here's what they said. We're trying to figure out why they care.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this thread captures a moment of transition. These users are watching the internet change around them, especially with AI encroaching on their safe spaces, and the reactions range from hilarity to genuine, palpable fear.
So let's jump right into the deep end. The thread, it kicks off with this huge meta moment.
Huh.
The users found out about Notebook LLM, the AI tool that can generate audio summaries of text.
Which is basically the tech we use to help research these deep dives.
Right. And naturally, what's the first thing they do? They feed their own discussion threads into the AI to see what it says about them.
It's the ultimate narcissism test, isn't it? But it's also a stress test for the technology. They want to see if the machine can actually understand their specific brand of irony.
And they call the results slopcasts, which honestly is a pretty funny term.
It is.
The reaction to hearing an AI discuss their posts is really mixed. One user notes that the AI labeled their community as hashtag counterculture and grumpy.
Which, to be fair, isn't inaccurate. But the users take issue with the lack of nuance.
Oh, for sure.
There's a comment where a user points out that the AI latched onto specific complex words like anime and just ran with it.
Anime, right, that's a sociological term.
Yeah, for social instability from a breakdown of standards and values.
It's a high concept word.
Exactly. The AI sees that word and thinks, aha, this is the theme. But the users are laughing because the AI is mischaracterizing their nuanced, often sarcastic takes on things like Homestuck.
Their nickname for Homestuck.
Right. Or specific user dramas. The AI is treating their shitposting as serious sociological discourse.
One user said, I knew the anime mention would take over its brain, but here's where it gets really interesting and honestly a little embarrassing for us.
Oh.
In the source material, they actually talk about this show, the deep dive.
They do. So they're listening to us, analyzing them, analyzing us.
It's a total Ouroboros of content,
Yeah.
but they have a specific critique. Quote, bizarrely, the deep dive hosts seem to permanently believe that it's 2025 and refer to January 2026 as the hypothetical future.
Oh, wow.
They also claim we missed the release of Deltarune chapters.
Well, that's fair. I mean, when you spend all your time digging through archives and old threads, the actual calendar date gets a little fuzzy.
I mean, I'm pretty sure my watch is right, but hey, maybe we are stuck in a time loop. But jokes aside, what does that tell us?
It tells us they are hyper-aware of how they are perceived. It connects to that anxiety we mentioned.
Right.
If an AI or a show like ours can scrape their community and summarize it, are they still an underground counterculture? Or have they just become another data set for the machine?
They're mocking us to reclaim some power.
Exactly. If they laugh at the slopcast, they remain above it.
Speaking of the machine, the thread segues hard into a debate on AI art, and this isn't your standard AI is theft argument.
Well.
It starts with someone linking a comic from the Oatmeal about how AI art is bad, but the users, they are not having it.
The contrarian streak comes out immediately. They hate being told what to hate.
Big time. One user argues that liking a piece of art but then being disappointed just because it turned out to be AI is, and I'm quoting their sentiment here, a weak way to exist.
Right.
Their argument is that genning stuff or generating images is fun because it allows for deranged concepts that human artists just wouldn't touch.
See, I don't think that's just them being edgy. That's a utilitarian view of art. To them, the value isn't in the human soul of the creator. It's in the novelty of the output.
It's about the content, not the connection.
Yeah, if the AI can make a weirder image than a human, they prefer the AI.
But there is pushback in the thread, right? It's not a monolith.
No, not at all. Another user pushes back, arguing that AI art lacks creative vision. They claim that even if the tech is getting better, they can usually spot it because it feels generic.
Like generic anime girl and generic pose.
Exactly. But then, and this is the key insight, they admit they still follow some AI accounts if the curation is unique enough.
So they despise the slop, but they respect the technical skill of curation. That's a very specific standard.
Right. If you can wrangle the AI to do something truly unique, you earn their respect. If you just type cool dragon and hit enter, you're garbage.
And speaking of wrangling technology, there's this incredible anecdote in the thread about something called vibe coding.
Vibe coding. This is a fascinating term. We need to break this down.
So the user talks about scraping license plate data from a harassment website. They realized the site was sending all its data to the client in JSON files, encrypted with a key that was just sitting right there in the URL.
Wow.
They cracked it in 30 minutes. But they credit vibe coding. What exactly do they mean by that?
So traditionally, coding requires deep syntax knowledge. You need to know exactly how to write the script. Vibe coding usually refers to using large language models like ChatGPT or Claude to write the code for you.
Just based on natural language prompts.
Yeah, you just tell the AI the vibe of what you want. Hey, scrape this JSON file and decrypt it using this key, and the AI writes the Python script.
So it lowers the barrier to entry.
Drastically.
Right.
This user might not be a master hacker in the traditional sense, but with AI assistance, they can perform high-level cybersecurity exploits like salting the hash just by knowing the logic of what they want to do.
Yeah, it turns script kiddies into actual threats.
Or in this case, vigilantes.
Yeah.
It just illustrates that learner profile perfectly. These aren't passive consumers. Mm. They see a system and their first instinct is to dismantle it. The AI is just a force multiplier for their curiosity.
Or their boredom.
No.
Which brings us to the other main pillar of this community, gaming.
But not just playing games, analyzing the sociology of the people who play them.
Right, the Deadlock discussion.
Yeah, Deadlock, Valve's new game. Mm-hmm. And Valve, you know, creators of Half-Life and Portal, they're basically gods to this demographic.
But the users in the thread are just tearing the community apart. One user complains that the player base is a mix of Valve fans and furries.
Uh-huh.
They specifically cite a furry Shota character winning a vote.
We should probably define Shota quickly. It's an anime archetype depicting young boys. Mm-hmm. It's niche and often controversial.
Right. And the user describes this mix as a potentially the worst hero shooter MOBA audience possible.
A sweatfest event horizon.
Yeah. Why so much hostility?
I don't think they're tearing the game itself apart. If you look closely, they respect Valve's mechanics. They're terrified of the people the game attracts.
It's a culture clash.
Totally. You have the old guard PC gamers who grew up on Counter-Strike, and they're being forced to share a server with the modern Zoomer audience that loves hero shooters and specific anime tropes. It's a turf war for the soul of the game.
They want the mechanics without the cringe, which is a recurring theme.
Yeah.
Speaking of cringe and censorship, we have to talk about Dark Auction.
The visual novel.
The very same. The thread goes wild over the fact that Hitler, referred to as Dictator X in some versions, was apparently removed or censored for the console release.
Oh, censorship is always a hot button issue in these spaces.
Absolutely. They're analyzing the CERO rating Z on the Switch version.
And for context, CERZ is the highest rating in Japan. It's basically adults only. It's rare for console games.
Right, so they're joking about making a fan patch to put the dictator back in, but then someone links to a Gaga movie channel as the real Dark Auction.
This is where the irony gets deep. Gaga movie channels are these YouTube channels that summarize movies in, like broken English or with really weird editing.
And the user jokes that a video there made them sympathetic to Hitler because the movie depicted him dunking on neo-Nazis.
It's that cynical edgelord humor.
Yeah.
They aren't endorsing the history, obviously, but they find the absurdity of the media representation Hilarious.
They're laughing at how media twists history, and they're laughing at themselves for watching it.
Irony all the way down.
But the weirdest gaming rabbit hole in this thread has to be Tom and Jerry.
The cartoon cat and mouse. No way.
The mobile game, Tom and Jerry Chase. Apparently, it's huge in China. The users are just baffled by the high-level competitive scene. One calls it footballing Mecca.
That is surprisingly specific.
They're digging up lore wiki pages for characters like Angel Tom and Toodles Galore. They're fascinated that this slapstick cartoon has a ranked competitive mode in Asia.
You know, this actually makes sense. Slapstick is universal. You don't need language to understand a cat getting hit with a frying pan. But what fascinates these users is the seriousness with which it's treated. They love the juxtaposition high-stakes esports commentary applied to a cartoon mouse stealing cheese.
It's the absurdity of expertise.
It validates their belief that anything can be competitive if you care enough about it.
Now, we can't do a deep dive into this specific slice of the internet without talking about the decay of fandom, specifically the ghost that haunts the thread. Homestuck.
Or Homestark, as the AI called it.
Right. For listeners who missed the early 2010s, Homestuck was this massive, sprawling webcomic that basically ate the internet for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
But in this thread, there is a palpable fatigue. It's like the hangover after the party.
Totally. They're obsessed with Andrew Hussey, the creator, and how his career compares to Toby Fox, the creator of Undertale.
That's the classic comparison. Two titans of web-based storytelling.
But the users are cynical now. One theorizes that Toby Fox workshopped his jokes to friends to ensure mass appeal, unlike Hussey's one-guy mystique. They feel like that one-guy era is over.
It's a loss of authenticity they're mourning.
Yeah, the one-guy theory is the idea that the best art comes from a single, uncompromised, often deranged vision. They think modern creators are optimizing for engagement workshopping jokes, smoothing off the edges. They miss the jagged edges of the early internet.
And they're obsessed with remixing the remnants. Rose of the Lawn, a main character, comes up constantly.
Oh, no,
they're hunting for New Wave Rose or Rose Saris. It's like they're remixing the character into new archetypes because the original source material isn't giving them what they want anymore.
It's what happens when a fandom outlives the content. They aren't writing fan fiction out of love. They're rewriting the characters out of frustration.
Which leads us perfectly to Nant4.
Nant4.
Or Nank-ish. It's a parody comic discussed in the thread involving the old comic strip characters Nancy and Sluggo. But here's the twist. They are in Philadelphia.
Why? Why Philadelphia?
No one knows. That's the joke. The users criticize the humor as garbage or surreal.
No.
They joke about the characters being in a rape and battery scenario just because the setting looks gritty.
This is pure anti-humor.
Yeah.
It connects back to that post-irony we talked about.
Yeah.
The joke isn't that Nancy is funny. The joke is that Nancy is in a gritty urban environment and nothing is happening. Or terrible things are happening and the disconnect is the humor.
They mention Nanfest and Sinfy parodies of another webcomic, Sinfest. Users are creating edits, swapping the characters just to mock the lack of actual jokes.
So it's a community built around consuming something they think is bad, just to see how bad it can get.
That's a recurring theme here. Hate watching or hate reading. Which brings us to the manhwa, doesn't it?
Oh my god, yes. Plaything.
A user decides to live blog their reading of this Korean webcomic. And the plot. Okay, you need to buckle up.
I'm ready.
It's described as garbage bully revenge slop.
Oh.
A chairman's daughter is bullied into suicide, so the father recruits a North Korean girl.
Okay.
But not just any girl. She has super strength and brain damage from experiments that removed her ability to feel pain or shame.
That is incredibly specific,
yeah,
and incredibly dark.
But the users aren't horrified by the plot. They're cracking up at the execution. They mock the art, specifically the use of 3D assets.
Right.
They point out characters turning into low-poly models in wide shots.
And this is a critique of the industry. Manhwa production has become industrialized. Studios use pre-bought 3D assets for backgrounds and crowds to churn out chapters weekly. These users, being learners, spot the shortcuts immediately.
They note the obsession with NTR netterer,
which is the Japanese term for cheating or cuckoldry tropes. It's a staple of a certain type of drama-heavy comic.
They treat it like a spectacle of bad decisions. It's like watching a train wreck rendered in low-resolution 3D. Korean levels of drama, as they call it.
Again, they aren't just saying this is bad. They are analyzing why it's bad. The cut corners, the cultural tropes, the bizarre plot contrivances. It's active consumption.
Now, we have to touch on the politics and history segment of the thread. Because in between the cartoons and the coding, there's some heavy history being debated. specifically the Goon pipeline.
Ah, yes, the creation myth of the modern toxic internet. We really need to explain this one.
Please do. A user in the thread breaks down the history of how anime goons from the Something Awful forums were banned, which led to the creation of 4chan.
So for listeners who weren't online in 2003, Something Awful was the forum. The users were called goons. It was the primordial soup of internet culture.
And the users explaining a schism.
A civil war, basically, between the manime crowd, the manly, gritty anime fans, and the cute girl-lying fans, people who liked cute slice-of-life shows.
Sounds silly now.
It sounds ridiculous. But this split is what created 4chan. The anime goons were exiled, so they built their own clubhouse. This user is explaining that the insulation and hostility we see today, the gatekeeping, started right there.
They view themselves as the exiles who built their own kingdom because the normies kicked them out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And in that kingdom, they discuss current events with a heavy dose of irony. The Epstein files were leaked and the thread lit up.
But not with outrage, with amusement.
Specifically regarding Elon Musk, right?
Yes. The users were surprised and honestly impressed to find that Elon Musk apparently consistently turned down invitations to Epstein's island. One user posted the email excerpts and just said, "It's impressive, actually."
See, this disrupts their narrative. They are cynical. They expect every billionaire to be a villain. Finding out one wasn't, or at least turned down the invite, is the plot twist in the reality show they're watching.
Another user notes the cynical humor, calling the people involved aristocrats of the soul. It's dark, but they treat it like lore drops in a video game. Who is the villain this season?
It's a defense mechanism. If you treat the world's horrors as just another timeline update or lore drop, it's easier to process than actually confronting the reality of human trafficking.
So what does this all mean? We've got AI anxiety, retro gaming obsessions, hate reading Korean comics, and political conspiracy theories all in one thread.
It's a portrait of a very specific subculture. These are the people who feel post-fandom. They love things once, Homestuck, Valve games, but they've been burned by updates, by sequels, by the creators themselves.
They're technically skilled.
For sure, hence the vibe coding. But they use that skill to dismantle things rather than build them.
So they retreat into these bunkers, like one user said about the game Bully, build a bunker, fill it with copies of Bully on the PS2, and mock everyone on the outside.
Precisely. They are wary of the future, specifically AI, because they fear it will steal the last thing they have. Their unique, weird, incomprehensible culture. But at the same time, they are the ones using the AI to analyze themselves.
It's a paradox. They hate the machine, but they are the best at operating it.
And that leads back to that provocative thought from the beginning. If they are feeding their own culture into the slopcast machine, are they destroying the very counterculture they claim to be protecting?
That is the question. If an AI can perfectly mimic your grumpy bubby mood, are you unique anymore, or are you just training data?
It's a chilling thought, but honestly, as long as they're still finding low-poly North Korean super soldiers to laugh at, I think they'll keep the human spark alive a little longer.
You think?
AI can generate content, but it can't generate that specific flavor of brain rot. Not yet.
I think so, too. There's no algorithm for plaything. At least I hope not. Thanks for joining us on this tour of the digital underground. It's been a trip.
Always a pleasure.
Catch you in the next deep dive. Stay curious and maybe check your license plates. You never know who's vibe coding.
Indeed.
See ya.